In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So that's Isaiah, about 900 BC. About 400 years later, we have Ezekiel. In my 30th year, while I was among the exiles by the river Kabar, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, but all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of four directions the creatures faced. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose on the ground, the wheels rose. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Above the vault was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance, the likeness of the glory of the Lord. About the same time, we have Daniel. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing out from before him, and thousands upon thousands attended him. I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. More than 400 years later still, we have John. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And later in his vision, before me was a door standing open in heaven. There before me was a throne with someone sitting on it. and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like emerald on a circled throne. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Also in front of the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the centre, round the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes. Each of the four living creatures has six wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." Welcome to the throne room. It is difficult to imagine anything more removed from our experience here on earth than the awesome reality of God's throne. Nothing in all God's beautiful creation measures up to what awaits us in heaven. Colours, sounds, creatures, and a face-to-face interaction with God Himself. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived. These four men, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and John, were some of those who have been privileged to have seen into the heavenlies and tried to describe for us what they saw. Tried, but their accounts are peppered with words like "had the appearance of," and "something that looked like." It's clear that human language is feeble when it comes to describing heaven and God and celestial beings. Indeed, we've seen Paul Hopkins struggle in the same way. But what is striking is that spread over more than 1,000 years, these accounts are amazingly consistent, yet individual enough not just to be copies. Also, it is clear that Daniel sees the Lord Jesus in heaven centuries before he came to earth. And what is also striking is the effect that entering the heavenlies has on each man. Isaiah: "Woe is me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Here is a holy man, a prophet, ruined by the reality of God's unspeakable holiness. Ezekiel: "When I saw it, I fell face down." Another prophet, unable to stand. Daniel: "I was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me." Here's a man of God who has come through a lion's den and a fiery furnace, but struggles to comprehend the mysteries unfolding before his eyes. And John: "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." A beloved disciple, a familiar friend, totally felled at the sight of his Lord in glory. Speechless, legless, filled with holy fear, these men are totally overcome. The heaven dimension is something else. In each case, either an angel or the Lord Himself has to restore them so that they are in a fit state to stand, to speak, to see more, to understand more, and ultimately to respond. For with each vision comes a commissioning: go, speak, watch, write. For there is always a purpose to an encounter. Nothing has changed. I spoke before on God's presence coming down to dwell among us, revival, heaven on earth. But the other side of the coin is us entering His presence in the heavenlies. Perhaps this comes first. God's throne room is just as awesome today as then and ever will be, full of colour and movement and peals of praise and the absolute majesty and holiness of the Lord Almighty. Seers and visionaries over the centuries bring back the same report, and that with the holiness and majesty is love, overwhelming love. Isaiah says, in love a throne will be established, in faithfulness a man will sit on it. Love so pure, so intense, that none can stand before it. yet freely available through the torn veil at the throne of grace. If we think that we're not worthy, then we're wrong. We are all invited, all who wear the blood of the Lamb as a robe of righteousness. We do not have a God who is distant, cut off, in need of appeasing, too holy to be approached. There is still awe and reverence, and acceptance, joy, and purpose. Matt Redman's song says it all. Welcomed into the courts of the King, I've been ushered into your presence. Lord, I stand on your merciful ground, yet at every step, tread with reverence. But not all of us are seers, and not all of us dream heavenly dreams. Does that mean that we cannot experience heaven, that we cannot come before the throne? No. We don't have to see, we have to be. We have to join our spirit selves already seated there. For God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And how do we get to where we already are? Faith. And then by joining in the three ceaseless activities of heaven. The first is praise. The continual resounding celebration of God's goodness, power and majesty. You are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. And the continual honouring of the Son, slain, victorious and exalted. Worthy as the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. And then there is worship, the continual adoration, the love and worship fueled and inspired by divine commandment of pure love. Love, given and received. Holiness deeply acknowledged, full reverence given. All the angels are standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We sing of it. All the saints and angels bow before the throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and say, you are worthy of it all. From you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. We sing of it, yet we are part of it. And then there's intercession. The continual presenting of petitions to God for his holy, loving, and merciful resolution. The Son intercedes. Christ, who died, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. The Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words. And the prayers rise up from earth. The 24 elders are holding bowls for incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And here on earth, in our churches, our lives, our hearts, we are called upwards to join a continual flow. We are never alone. Eternity and geography are all one before the throne of grace. We enter the heavenlies, pulling heaven down to earth, lifting earth up to heaven. We may not see visions, but we have faith. Faith that knows that our spirits are there, right there, before the sea of glass. We start with praise. Praise opens the door. Yes, when we're joyful and contained and full of certainty, but also when we cannot see beyond our own nose. When we are down, when we have to pray through gritted teeth, when the battle is on, to praise is to shift our gaze upwards, heavenwards. This song does it for me. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before you, worship and adore. For you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus, Messiah, reigns. I've sung this when I can't sing, when I can barely whisper the words for tears. Yet it has lifted my vision. Portions of scripture do the same. We all need go-to words when we can't find our own to kickstart our praises. If we persevere, then worship cannot be resisted. We look upon the beating heart of the Father, who created all things, knows all things, loves all things. We look upon the Son who died for us, the Lion and the Lamb. We look upon the Spirit whose power transforms us, and we bow down, sometimes with words, with tongues, sometimes with wordless wonder. And then, from that place, we intercede. For ourselves, our families, our nations, we call heaven's wholeness down to earth. We declare heaven's purposes over people and nations. We speak God's word to him and from him, out into the spirit of the realm. And what better framework than the prayer that Jesus taught us? This is the Passion Translation. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the centre on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause for every purpose to be fulfilled on earth. We acknowledge you as our provider for all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation, and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. What a complete prayer. Here we have worship, intercession, petition, confession, forgiveness, guidance, warfare, and declaration. And we can flesh it out indefinitely. There's nothing grovelling in this prayer. It is prayed with the humble authority that comes from knowing our standpoint, not begging from below, but claiming from the standpoint of being before the throne. Where we are standing should affect every interaction with our awesome God. The fear of the Lord should colour every word we speak, every song we sing. Does it? Probably not, because we so often bring God down to our level rather than bringing ourselves up to his. In remembering that he is Daddy, do we get too chummy? Only the Holy Spirit can help us get the balance right. Praise, worship, intercession. Thus we join heaven's work. Thus we take our place before the throne. Thus we see things from a heavenly perspective. If you can't actually see or imagine the throne room, the cherubim, the wheels, the fire, the colour, the rainbows, or hear the thunder, the celestial music, or the praise of angels, we should at least keep them in mind. For without them, our praise, worship, and intercession are robbed of a focus that is living and extraordinarily powerful. Praise, worship, intercession. No surprise then, these are the three great water cylinders poised to tip in that powerful picture that Mike gave us. When the church joins with the work of heaven, the purposes of God are fulfilled. The call is out to come into the throne room, to take our place before the throne of grace, whether we can see it or not. The call is out to leave behind having a good sing, to leave behind worship that relies on our feelings, to leave behind our insipid litanies, pleases and thank yous, spoken regardless of our present recollection of God's power and grace, indeed his very self. The call is out to stop reading about these things, to stop talking about them, but to do them. The call is out to be sacrifices of praise, worship, and intercession, joining with the angels in the company of heaven, ushering in the kingdom, adding our many grams to those tipping water cylinders, being part of the holy gathering round the throne. Many of God's people have heard and answered the call. Many of us included. Some of us are catching up slowly. On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and before me was a door standing open in heaven, and there before me was a throne. Lord, it all revolves around your throne. Amen. Let it be.